from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16 to 22. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we are entreat us on behalf of him, of Christ. We reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
This is what we are here to do, to give praise to the Lord for all of his kindness, all of his benefits, and for all the wonderful things that he has done for us, that he continues to do for us, and that he has promised to do for us. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Again, listen to the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to all the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. My friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. I read a story this past week about a duck who thought that it was a dog. This kind of thing happens on rare occasions. As you know, baby ducklings, when they hatch, imprint on the very first thing that they see. And in their mind, whatever it is they see, they believe that that is what they are. And most of the time, this works out just fine, because ducks are generally hatched by the mother duck, and the mother duck is the first thing that they see. But this particular duckling was hatched under the watchful care of a motherly collie dog. And so it grew up thinking that that collie dog was its mother. And it followed her around and ran to her for protection and slept by her side at night. And it grew up doing dog kind of things. This duck spent the hottest part of the day sleeping under the front porch. But whenever a car pulled into the driveway, the duck would run out quacking as loud as it could and would try to peck at the tires of that car. It was a duck that thought that it was a dog. But no matter how much it thought that it was a dog, still certain things about this duck couldn't be changed. It still quacked rather than bark. It still liked the water a great deal and would flap its wings to arrange its feathers. It may have thought that it was a dog. It still was a duck. And after I read this story, I began to think about us, about the church of Jesus Christ, because we in the church sometimes have a similar confusion about who we are, about our identity, and what it is that defines us as members of the church of Jesus Christ, because we have been born into this fallen world, and we have imprinted upon it, and grown up learning the ways of the world around us. But that's not who we really are. We don't belong to this world. We belong to God. We have been chosen by God to be united to Jesus Christ, to have communion and fellowship with our Lord and Savior. The problem is, so often we don't see ourselves correctly. We forget who we are. And rather than swimming around on a lake and bobbing for seaweed and preening our feathers, we keep running out from under the porch and pecking at car tires as it pulls into the driveway. We need to remember who we are and whose we are. We need to learn our new identity in Christ. And I think that the two scriptures that we heard for today from Paul help us with this identity problem. Listen to what Paul says first in 2 Corinthians. From now on, he writes, "Therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. For if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away, and behold, everything has been made new." Everything has been made new in us. We are new creations. Elsewhere in his letter to the Galatians, Paul writes that we have been crucified with Jesus Christ, and it is no longer we who live, but it is now Jesus Christ who lives in us. Our old selves, our old lives have been put to death through the death of Jesus Christ, and we have been raised with him at the empty tomb. And so who we are has changed. We no longer define ourselves the way that the world teaches us to define ourselves. We are no longer merely about our jobs, our work. Do you ever notice whenever you go to a gathering or a party of some kind, the first question you're asked after what's your name is, what do you do? What do you do? I'm trying to figure out who you are. So tell me, what do you do? What is your job? For so many people, that defines them. That's especially a problem for men, and it's especially a problem for men when they reach that magic age of 65 or 66 and they have to retire, and now, who are they? They don't know anymore, so many men. But that old life, that's not how we are to define ourselves anymore. We're no longer about the salary we make. We're no longer about the job that we do. We're no longer now defined by how pretty we are, or how young we look, or how small, or in some cases, big our waists happen to be, or how sexy we look or feel. For so many people in the world, that's how they define themselves. They're all about their looks. That's who you used to be, Paul says. You're not that person anymore. And you're no longer defined by your family of origin. So many of us, that's how we identify ourselves. I am the son of Stephen and Linda. I am the grandson of Ralph and Ruth and Barraclo and Irma. And so many people define themselves by that way, for good or for bad. Some of us wish we could have been born into a different family. Paul says, that's not who you are anymore. That's your old life. You're not about where you came from, nor are you about the things that you have done in the past, for good or for bad, the degrees that you earned or didn't earn, the books that you read or didn't read, the promotions that you earned or didn't earn, the money that you managed to sock away in the bank or under the mattress, or the money that you blew and spent on that big shopping spree. That's not who you are anymore. At the core, we are different people now. We have been recreated through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We no longer have to sleep under the porch and run chasing cats and cars and barking at strangers. The old life is gone. New life has come, a new life defined from beginning to end by Jesus Christ. So now the question is, okay, if I'm no longer who I used to be, if I'm now a new creation, if I'm brand new in Jesus Christ, what does this new life look like? What does it mean to be a new creation in Jesus Christ? And Paul talks about that at the beginning of his letter to the Ephesians. And he's so excited by it. He's so impassioned by it that he just keeps heaping words upon words upon words. In the Greek, that whole lesson that I read, verse 1 through 14, is one sentence. One giant run-on sentence that Paul is so excited that he just keeps writing and writing and writing and writing about what Jesus Christ has done for us. And here's a bit of what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Who are we in Jesus Christ? We are not poor people. We are richly, lavishly blessed people. We have an overabundance of good things given to us in Jesus Christ. Paul goes so far as to say that every spiritual blessing in heaven, every spiritual blessing is now ours in Jesus Christ. There's absolutely nothing we could possibly need. There is absolutely nothing that belongs to Christ that he does not now also give and share with us. Take a second to let that sink in. Everything that belongs to Jesus Christ, he now shares with us as an inheritance because we have been united to him. And part of that, Paul goes on to say, means that we have been chosen by God to be holy and to be blameless. Now, I don't know about you, but I very rarely feel holy. I never feel blameless. I still carry around a lot of that baggage from that old life that's been put to death. I've been told by a lot of people in a lot of different ways that I'm not good enough, that I should be ashamed, that I should feel guilty because of the things that I've done or the things that I haven't done or the way that I am. It's hard to get that out of our minds sometimes and to think that now I am holy, now I am blameless. Oh, no, there's no way I could be that, you say. But you know who is holy? You know who is blameless? Jesus Christ. And everything that belongs to Christ has now also been given and shared with us. So it's Now, in this new life, as new creations united to Jesus Christ, all of that holiness that belongs to him and all of that blamelessness that belongs to him is given to us as a free gift, is charged to our accounts, so that whenever God looks at us now, he sees us as righteous and holy and blameless like his Son. That is our new identity. We are new people. Legally, we are like Christ. And as a guarantee of this gift that we will receive in fullness one day as we stand before that throne of God, God has given us his Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks on Pentecost. He's given us his Spirit as a down payment, as a deposit, as a guarantee that that full inheritance we've been promised, we're actually going to receive it one day. And the Spirit now lives in and with us and goes to work on us, so that as we go deeper into this new identity, as we go deeper into this inheritance that we have been given and become new creations, we actually become holier. We actually become more blameless. We become more like Jesus Christ. All things are being made new. And this is our new life. This is who we are. I don't know about you, I think that deserves a hallelujah there, don't you? It's good news. And Paul continues to flesh this out as he's just piling words upon words. In him, he says, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he has lavished upon us. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. Redemption. That's not a word we use very often anymore. Redemption literally is buying somebody out of slavery. It means to pay the price for someone to now have freedom. And it's appropriate because in our old life, we used to be slaves. Now, we didn't know it at the time. We certainly didn't think that way. We thought in our delusions that we were free because, hey, I can go and do whatever I want. I can live however I want to live. And isn't that the definition of freedom? Well, the reality is we were slaves to our evil desires. We were slaves to wickedness because no matter how hard we tried, we couldn't live well. We couldn't live right. We were slaves to our own sinful natures. But now, through Jesus Christ, God has come and has redeemed us, has bought us out of that slavery to sin, just as he redeemed Israel from their slavery in Egypt. This is a spiritual redemption that we have been given now. And the price, Paul says, is this, that for our sake, God made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made that magnificent exchange to buy us out of our slavery so that we are free now in Christ, so that our sins are now forgiven, and the blood of Jesus Christ covers over all of those trespasses, all of those sins, and they are seen by God no more. And if God can't see them, they don't exist. Because all things exist and are sustained only by him. And so our sins are gone. His grace has made it so. And as Paul writes in Romans, there's now no condemnation for any of us who are in Christ Jesus, for any of us who are those new creations, for any of us who have died and been resurrected in Jesus Christ. All those little condemning voices that you hear over and over again, that you're not good enough, that you're not pretty enough, that you're not smart enough, that no one could ever love you because of the way that you are, now they're all untrue. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. Because anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Anyone who is in Christ has been chosen by God to be united in Jesus Christ, to be holy and blameless, to be redeemed and forgiven. And we're no longer condemned. We're no longer guilty. We are forgiven. We are free. We are made new in Christ. And this is now who we are. This is our promised inheritance. We belong to Christ, and everything that is His is now also ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was a teenager, long time ago, whenever I would leave the house to go to school or to go to work or wherever I happened to go, if my dad was there in the kitchen, he would look at me and he would say, "Remember who you are and whose you are." If my mom happened to be there, she'd look me in the eye and say, "Act like you know something." It's comforting. I never actually had to know anything. I just had to pretend that I did. Served me well. But they said these things to me so many times that it really began to sink in how terribly important that is. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are, and act accordingly. Live according to that identity. That we no longer belong to this world, that we're no longer defined the way the world defines people or assigns worth to people. It now no longer matters what our bank account balance is. It now no longer matters how we measure up to the supermodels on the covers of the glossy magazines. It now no longer matters the family that we were born into or the job title on our business cards. What matters now is that we are new creations, that we are children of the King. We're not children of this world anymore. We are children of God. And we are given every spiritual blessing now in Christ as an inheritance. The old lives have passed away. New life has come because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. We're no longer dogs. We're ducks. We're no longer people of this world. We are people of God. So let's live that way. Let's stop chasing cars and start bobbing for fish. Let's stop blending in with everyone else and looking and living like everyone else in our world and start acting like the people of God. Let's embrace this identity, this inheritance, this new creation that we are in Jesus Christ. And live to give praise and glory to Him. Because to Him belongs all glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you that you have made us new, that you have recreated us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to open our eyes to that fact, that we would live out this new reality and give praise to you. And now, Lord, as we prepare to come to your table, we ask that you would help us to lift up our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.